Open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. The text is in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is the very heart of salvation by grace. And without justification, biblical sense of grace is absolutely gone. You can't have grace without justification. And if you've got grace, you're going to have justification. Justification is a very essential doctrine. And if you understand justification, you're pretty well on your way to being a theologian. And the justification that's taught in the scriptures, we don't hear much about it anymore. But we want to study this morning the theme, justification by faith. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is to give you some false ideas of justification, because there are a lot of these, and they're published pretty frequently and pretty consistently. So we need to know what these errors are so that we don't buy into them. The first view that I'll mention of justification that's false is that justification is based upon something the sinner does. This is the idea that so many people have, and a lot of preachers have, is that God justifies a sinner because he does something that pleases him. In other words, God is looking for the sinner to do something by which he can justify him. That's a false view of justification. Justification, and we will come to it when we discuss the exact meaning of it further, but note in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No sinner can ever do anything that is acceptable to God as a sinner. You can't please God as a sinner, only as a justified sinner. Secondly, there are those who teach that justification means that God accepts the good that the sinner does to cancel out his sins. In other words, the sinner is able to do something, and God says, well, now, I'm going to blot out your sins because you've done something good. That is not justification according to Scripture. That's an idea that a lot of people have. Notice in Romans 3:20 what the Scripture says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, and you could inject here when he speaks of the law, that's the law of God, but you could put there any law. Therefore, by the deeds of any law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. That is, in God's sight. And then he goes on, as far as the law of God is concerned, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law of God is like a mirror to a dirty face. It shows what's on your face. It does not cleanse. The mirror will never cleanse you. It's not designed to cleanse you. The law is not designed to cleanse men of sin, but to tell men what sin is. We wouldn't know what sin is if it wasn't for the law of God. Therefore, that is a false idea that says God is going to accept some good. In other words, if an individual climbs up a certain number of stairs, Martin Luther went to Rome, and he was very intent on being justified by his works at that point in his life. And he thought that by climbing the stairs on his knees at the Vatican or doing other works, that God would justify him. But it finally dawned on him through the grace of God that justification doesn't depend on anything we do. It depends solely on what Christ has done. And that's a marvelous revelation. And if you've never had that, I pray that the Lord will give you that revelation. Thirdly, justification is something that God does in the sinner. So that people say, oh, when God justifies a sinner, he does something, he makes him a new creature, or he does this or he does that. No, that's not justification. Justification, and we will get to that in a moment, but that's not justification. God justifies a sinner, but when he does it, he's not doing anything inside the sinner. What's done inside the sinner is regeneration, repentance, godly sorrow, faith, and other graces. Those follow, but it's not what God does inside a sinner that justifies him. Fourthly, justification occurs when the sinner cooperates with God. Now, these are subtle things, but hear me out. The idea is that if you do thus and thus, God will do his part. This does not work that way in grace. Grace is a free, sovereign gift and doesn't depend on what the sinner does. It depends on what Christ did. That's so important for us to understand. So that is a false view of justification. And fifthly and lastly, there may be other views than that I'm not mentioning, but these are the major ones that we're considering. Justification continues only so long as the believer lives without sin. You ever run into a person that thought they lived above sin? I've known of a few that said they lived above sin. And that their justification depended on them continuing to live above sin. And if at any moment they sinned, their justification vanished like a mist in the heat of sunlight. That's a false view of justification. Justification does not disappear when we sin. Now, let me give you justification as it's defined by Carnes in his dictionary. Very good dictionary, and I use it extensively. Brother Little in California gave me the copy of that book, and I use it, and it is a great help. Justification is defined by him with 6 points. Number one, justification is an act and not a process. It's something that happens instantaneously to the believing sinner. It's not a process. It's not something that goes on and on and on, such as sanctification or many of the other graces that we receive from Christ. But that's not true about justification. Justification is an act. And it occurs at a point in time, does not continue as a process. Secondly, it is an act of free grace towards sinners who are guilty. Doesn't ever come to the individual that's a sinner but doesn't believe that he's a sinner. If God doesn't convince you that you are a sinner, you will never come to the idea of justification as it is in scriptures, because God only justifies the ungodly, the sinner. Thirdly, justification is a forensic act. That is, it is a legal act. It's what you get from a judge, from a courtroom, and it does not change the individual, but it gives him a new legal standing with God. Let me give you some examples to show you what we're talking about. Turn in your Bibles with me to Luke 7 and verse 29. Luke 7, 29. And all the people that heard him, this is concerning John the Baptist. Now listen to what they did. And the publicans justified God. So what they did, they didn't make God just or justify God. What did they do? They declared him to be just. They said God is just. And that's what justification does. It declares that an individual is justified. And it is a forensic or a legal act. Notice again with me in Psalm 51, David is speaking about the Lord. And in this passage, 51 and verse 4, David says this, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." This is after he had gone into Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet had said, "Thou art the man." "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified." David didn't change God's character when he said that. He just declared him to be just. "When thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." So we get the correct idea of justification then. It's a legal thing. It's a declaration. It hasn't got anything to do with the character of the individual. Then fourthly, justification is a just act. Sometimes men make declarations that are not just, not right, that should not have been done. But God never does anything like that. All of his acts are just acts. Then how can God justify a man who's a sinner and that be a just thing? It's because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that is put upon that sinner. Let me show you now, as we consider this, turn with me to Romans 5 and verse 19, the chapter in which our text is found, verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience," talking about Adam, "many were made sinners." Now, you have to recognize that sometimes the scriptures use the word many, and it's referring to everybody. And sometimes it uses the word all, and it's only referring to many. This is one of those cases. "For as by one man's disobedience, all were made sinners." All men. We became sinners in Adam. You weren't there. You didn't have anything to do with it. But you got it. When I was in the Marines, you had to get all kinds of shots when you went overseas. They told us, they warned us ahead of time. Said, "Now you be sure you keep this paper, because it's the only proof you've got. Because if something happens and that paper gets lost and it doesn't get put in your files, you're going to have to get inoculated again." And there was about 12 or 15 shots. They had the corpsmen lined up on each side with needles, and we'd walk through there and they were shooting us on both sides till we got through. And a week or so later, they called a couple of men out of our unit and said, "Let's see your papers for your inoculations." Well, they didn't have them. Guess what? They weren't recorded. They got to go back down, go right through it again. So we recognize then that he says here in the 19th verse, "For as by one man's obedience, many or all were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That's by an appointment. Notice that he says there, uses the word made, which were made sinners. You know what he's saying there? He's saying they were appointed to be sinners. He's not talking about that God made them sinners, caused them to be sinners, but they were appointed to be sinners because of Adam's sin. Then, in the same way, in the fourth chapter and the fifth verse of Romans, he says this, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So justification is a righteous act. What God does is he takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and puts it on the sinner. And the sinner becomes righteous, not in his own stead, because as Romans 4:5 says, he justifies the ungodly. But by that act, we become righteous. Then the fifth thing that Carnes gives us as the definition and the meaning of justification is that it is a once-for-all act. It cannot be reversed and it cannot be repeated. Note Romans 8 and verse 30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And let me tell you, on God's train, he never cuts any of the cars loose until the whole train arrives at the station. We're predestinated, we're called, we're justified, we're glorified. You get the whole train. Sometimes the train will lose some of its cars. It happens. The connecting link breaks. And when a train's going up the mountain, if wherever the link breaks, all that part of the train, from there to the rear of the train, will take off and go downhill. That's what a lot of people think about the works of God's grace. It's not that way. His grace is a complete train. Starts out, verse 30 tells us, with predestination. A lot of people say, "I don't like that word." That's up to you. It's a Bible word. I was visiting in a home one time, and a lady said to me, "I hate the word election." And I said to her, "Are you aware that that is a word of Scripture?" And she just dropped her head. Strange that people don't want these words that are found in Scripture. God knew what he was doing when he inspired the Scripture. The Holy Spirit said to Paul, "I want you to write this, and this is what I want you to write. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called." That's that effectual calling comes through the preaching of the gospel and is worked by the Holy Spirit. "And those he called, them he also justified." There's that declarative act. "And those that he justified, them he also glorified." That's in glory. The whole train pulls into heaven. And when it shuts down, all the cars are on it. Lose any in the way. None of them cut loose. Then, number six, justification is equally complete in every person that experiences it. There's no brother sitting over here that's more justified than one sitting over here. There's no lady back there that's more justified than that lady over there. Everyone is justified equally. And the reason being, we all have the righteousness of Christ put upon us. And that's how we're justified. We're not justified by anything we've ever done or ever can do. We're justified by the righteousness of Christ. And that means that we're all exactly the same as far as justification is concerned. Justification is received by faith without works. That is, you don't do anything to obtain it. You can't do anything to obtain it. It's a free and a sovereign gift. Let me show you in the book of Galatians what the Apostle Paul said. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That is, you can't be justified by anything you do. It's got to be by the grace of God through faith. Now, in the second place, let us consider that justification is by faith, but it is not for faith. And by that we mean that it's not given because we have faith. There's the idea that some have that we are justified by faith, and that means we're justified because we have faith. That's because of our justification, because of our faith that we're justified. That's not the way it is. The Lord never justifies an individual on account of his faith. He justifies him through faith, but not because of it. There's a big difference. Let me insist that if you put up your faith as the ground of justification, you've made an idol. Anyone that looks to his faith for his justification has desecrated Jesus Christ, because Christ is the only one who can justify it. Your faith can't do it. Your faith is like the empty hand that receives it. And so it could never be on the count of your faith. We know this is the case. Let me illustrate it for you. When the saints are glorified, when Christ comes, descends from heaven to the earth, resurrects the sleeping saints, raptures those that are alive, and we're glorified, what's going to happen to faith? Did you realize that faith will then give place to sight? And faith will never be used again. There'll be no such thing as faith. The moment we cross the threshold of glory, we'll never need faith anymore. Why is that? Because we see Christ. We're with him. And therefore, we'll never see faith again. So if justification depends on faith, then when the child of God no longer has faith, he has no foundation. Think of it. You don't want to look at your faith as the source of your spiritual blessings. It is the medium by which we receive them, not the source, not the foundation, not the ground. If faith is the ground of justification, the moment that we see Christ in glory, that foundation would be gone forever, and we would be without a foundation. Christ is our foundation. We look to Jesus Christ. We believe on Jesus Christ. We trust Jesus Christ. We don't trust our faith. We don't look at our faith. We look to him. All the blessings of life eternal come through Jesus Christ. He's the ground, the foundation. It is his blood that justifies us from our sins. Grab that and hold on to it, because it is the truth. The gifts of God's grace, and they're wonderful gifts. Don't misunderstand me. The gifts of God's grace, such as repentance, such as godly sorrow, hope, faith, are marvelous gifts. But did you know that when we get to glory, not one of them will ever be used again, but they'll be hung up in the armory like the shields. In David's day, he hung up 1,000 shields in his armory of mighty men. You know why? Because they didn't need them anymore. We won't need repentance anymore. We'll never sin anymore, so we won't never repent. We won't need godly sorrow anymore. We won't need hope anymore. Because when you see something, why do you hope for it? You've got it. We're going to have everything then. All those gifts will be laid aside, never be used again. Faith will never be used again. It'll be hung up like a monument. And we'll look back and say that by faith we gained the victory, but that's not the foundation of our victory, not the source of it. Jesus Christ will be before us, and we will behold him and worship him forever and ever. And that's the glorious vision that we look for. That's some of the blessed effects of justification. Notice that our text says, therefore, being justified in this sense, which I'm trying to explain to you, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Did you know that with all of the justifications that the world has in mind, there's no peace? If an individual says, yes, I believe in justification, but I believe that if I sin after I'm justified, I'm lost again, I've got to be justified all over again. There's no peace in that kind of a justification. I wouldn't want to live under that kind of a justification. It would scare me to death. We all fail. We all sin. But our justification does not depend upon our sinlessness. Our justification depends on the sinless Son of God and on him alone. We have peace with God because we've been justified by Jesus Christ through his blood, his righteousness. Notice in Romans 5:9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justification then does not depend on anything that we do after we are saved. We are justified once for all by Christ. Our standing is secure in Christ, and praise his name for it. Our standing is secure because it's based upon Christ's shed blood. That means the work that he did on the cross. And when he got to that end of his life, after he had checked off everything that he was supposed to do to redeem us from our sins, he said, it is finished. Nothing else can be added to it. Now let me close with this. This doctrine of justification that I've tried to preach to you is good news for sinners. Those who say, oh, there's so many things you've got to do in order to be saved, they don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't have the justification that we're talking about here this morning. The justification that I'm talking about, the justification that the Bible speaks of, is a justification for sinners. Are you a sinner? Then you look to Jesus Christ. You come to Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why is that? Because he justifies us through the righteousness of his suffering on the cross, through his blood, and through his resurrection and his power. And he makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And he gives us this gift of justification, which is ours forevermore. That's good news to every sinner. And if you're a sinner, I point you to Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Don't you dare look to anything beneath Jesus Christ. Only to him. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That's my hope of life eternal, is in what Jesus Christ did, in Emmanuel shedding his blood on the cross and redeeming me from my sins. That's justification by faith. And that is the justification that gives us the peace of God that passes understanding. May the Lord bless you.